Oh, right, we're on. Sorry, I didn't know we were on already. Okay, good morning, everybody. It's Monday. I was just showing Leanne funny clips, but she didn't laugh that much, so it wasn't...
Because I knew we had 5 seconds to go.
Really, James? 5 seconds? And you tell me, like, straight off, oh...
10 seconds, 5 seconds.
Oh, please. I was trying to find the clip. All right, so, good morning. I hope you had a good weekend. I hope you are through the worst part of winter. And you are ready for the downhill to summer, because that's what it is now.
Is
the
it?
The solstice on Saturday.
Ah, past it.
Mm-hmm, technically.
Okay, good to know.
I noticed there's a very, very, very thin sliver of a moon.
Yes,
I saw
that.
In the sky this morning. So,
I don't know if it's waxing or waning, but one of the
who
two.
Who knows?
It does it all the time. We can get over it.
At least it still waxes after all those years. You know, some people would have stopped and given up.
Some people just wane for the rest of their lives.
That's so true. All right, so what did you get up to?
I worked this weekend, to be fair, to be honest.
All right.
I'm not going to try and paint a pretty picture.
No, that sounds horrific. Okay, great.
Yeah, you know, sometimes Mondays are big days in the office. And you've got a whole lot of meetings lined up.
Uh-huh.
Things that you promised yourself on Friday would be fine if you did them on Monday. Then Monday arrives.
Not good.
Here we are.
No. Shit, up shit creek without a paddle.
Yes.
That's how it goes from there on. Okay, well, I see lots of people already going crazy in the comments. Gray says, 3 Anne is in the house.
It's 2 Anne now.
That's right.
But remember, I grew that extra leg when I was young.
That's, I think, what he's referring to.
Oh, I thought he meant one remaining crutch.
But wouldn't it have been great to have that extra leg now?
Well, it wasn't a full leg. It just came from the knee downwards.
But you could have had
foot.
But you could have used it for spare parts. I mean, that's how I think of these things. No?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know if it would have just hung there. Oh, no, it wouldn't have. It had its own muscle and cartilage.
Did it have an articulated joint?
Yeah, something like that. Looked like a witch's nose.
And what happened? They cut it off.
Yeah. It never protruded.
Oh.
All that you could see from the outside was a slight rise. But on the x-ray, you had the tibula.
Oh. With a little piece coming out.
Growth coming off of
it. A little witch's nose.
Ew.
Yeah, that sounds revolting. All right, what a horrible picture to wake up to this morning. That's called a penis, says Bitcoin Boot.
Penis from your knee.
You know, some people grow things in funny places. Wasn't there that woman who had a nose growing out of her ass?
Oh, I don't know.
That would be a bad combo. Imagine you smell and you're closest to the ass.
That would be like, you. The wait time would be much shorter.
Oh, God, that would be horrible. All right, so so many things to talk about. There was America's got involved. They bombed, they bunker buster bombed Iran's Fordo facility as well as Natanz and Isfahan. And of course, the Ayatollah is still rage tweeting from his basement in northern Tehran, where he is also under like meters and meters of concrete and just hoping that they don't decide to make a direct hit on him. Because I wouldn't want to be the Ayatollah. I think that's a pretty awful, you know, longevity. He's in his 80s already. He's had a long life, but it's not, let's just say there's not a lot of hope for it to continue to be long.
Mm.
And
sure.
They've taken out lots and lots of the Iranian high command. But what's amazing here is that Trump has played this beautifully. You know, for all the things people say about him, that he's an idiot and he can't be taken seriously and he's so stupid and he's got leaks in his administration. I mean, I don't think there has been a more safe and securely held plan than this. Remember, on Friday, he was saying, I'm going to give you 2 weeks, Iran, to sort your shit out.
He does warn people about things.
Well, yeah, but he said, I'm going to give you 2 weeks. It was all a decoy because actually 2 days later, he was going to help bomb the bejesus out of their entire nuclear plan. So everybody was convinced that he would, you know, kind of relent for a little while, give them time. And I think he's just handled this whole thing masterfully. The green light that he's given the Israelis in the beginning to start, the fact that he strung the Iranians along with this idea of, well, we can make a deal and let's just talk. We know that didn't happen.
Mm.
And basically they've been caught with their pants down, the Iranians. And Trump and particularly the chairman of the Joint Chiefs and Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth, these people, they're sharp. They know what they're doing. And the U.S. military is back in business, boys. So, you know, this is where it all happens. And I'm concerned because I see lots of comments, primarily from women, saying, oh, no, it's the beginning of World War III, and this makes me feel very unsafe, and do we really need another war, and all this kind of thing. And the reality is that this is kind of what happens. The default setting for humans isn't peace, it's war. This is how we sort out our problems. This is how we sort out who's in charge. This is how you develop a hierarchy. And as unpleasant as these things are, you know, you've got to have someone at the top of the tree who makes sure that everyone further down on the tree behaves themselves. What's happened here is that America has put Iran back in its place. And it's told the rest of the world a similar story. It's like, look, don't fuck with us, basically. And we've forgotten what that looks like because we've had a series of quite weak presidents and a pattern of peace. Obviously, there have been places where that's not the case, like Ukraine, and you know, the Middle East is pretty much the same story throughout history. But the world now understands how things work and who makes the decisions and who has at their beck and call a very, very powerful military that can get shit done.
So who needs to do what in order for it to stop? Because this is going to go on and on and on and on and on, and we're going to forget what the real cause of it was.
Why do you ask about stopping? Because as if that would be...
I'm seeing further down the line, and I'm seeing us talking about this in a year's time and saying, and forgetting the root cause of why it all started and what needs to be done.
There's no declaration of war here, for starters. You know, as I had a conversation yesterday with someone on, I think it was social media somewhere, Instagram or whatever, and she said, oh no, this is terrible, and it's going to be a long drawn out thing and lead to World War III and all of this stuff. And I said, no, it's a very, very tactical, surgical strike on the nuclear facilities of Iran. The only important question is, are you a person who believes that it's okay for Iran to have a nuclear weapon? Or are you a person who thinks it is not okay for Iran to have a nuclear weapon? If you are in the latter category, welcome, brothers and sisters. I'm on the same page. They can't have a nuclear weapon because they are a crazy, theocratic regime full of lunatics like Ayatollah Khamenei, who you can see is completely unhinged. And these would be very, very bad actors if they had a nuclear weapon. Remember, that's the ultimate Trump card and deterrent. Right? If you've got it, you can cause untold shit all over the world. And don't think that Iran were, I don't know, building their nuclear power facility or trying to develop new technology in a civilian sense. They were developing nuclear weapons. They were trying. That was what those centrifuges at Fordo were for, was to enrich uranium so that they could build a nuclear warhead or a number of nuclear missiles. And there are people who don't agree with this because they go, oh, well, Iran wasn't ready to build one. The International Atomic Energy Association, the IAEA, said that they had good reason to believe Iran were very close. I don't think that it was just a roll of the dice with Israel either. I'm pretty sure they know some things about what's going on there. Mm. That's their whole business. They had a guy, this is tremendous, they had a guy in the Iranian army who was like right near the top of the power structure. He was a general, and he had been there planted as a spy by Israel. Mm. And he'd gone up the ranks and he'd been like right next to the Ayatollah at some press conferences and things. This guy was essentially their inside man. So I think he knew, and certainly other sources that they would have had, plus their own intel, that, you know, they're watching with satellites what's going in and out of these facilities all the time. So they can tell what's going on. If Iran were 6 weeks away or a week away or one day away from a nuclear weapon, then this was essentially what was going to be called for. So I'm happier in a world where Iran doesn't have a nuclear weapon. Thank you very much. And that is all that matters. So I don't think there's a regime change underway here. Mm. They're not trying to ask this government, although it looks like the government is pretty unstable and unlikely to hold on to power for very long. But that's not the goal. The goal was either you have a nuke or you don't. If you think it's okay that Iran has a nuke, I reckon you probably are a bit of an idiot.
So you mentioned facilities.
Mm.
So it doesn't mean that all of it's gone.
Well, yeah, so these bunker buster bombs are just unbelievable. This thing can drill through, you know, meters and meters of solid concrete. Mm. And it weighs 30,000 pounds. It's phenomenal. It like slices through rock like a hot knife through butter. And then
a meteor.
Yeah, and then delivers its payload and just. So they've shown before and after pictures of some of these places which they've bombed now. And only the Americans have one of these bunker buster bombs. They cost an absolute fortune. And they have to be delivered by a B-2 bomber. Those B-2 bombers flew the night before from the U.S., from Missouri. It took them, I don't know, something like 14 hours to get to Iran. Nobody saw them along the way. Mm. And then they dropped their bombs and they turned around and they went back to Missouri.
Sure.
It's incredible, huh? And in a world where we've been led to believe by politicians that their words and their G7s and their G20s and their press conferences and their corrupt bullshit politics is the be-all and the end-all, it's good to see that actually, you know, might still makes right. And I know that that's not pleasant for some people. They don't like the idea that there's a, you know, a hierarchy of force, that there's actually the only thing that matters in the world is power when it comes to that.
Mm.
And the power belongs to the one who's got the most armies and the most bombs and the most planes, and that's America. So if you don't like it, find another Earth. But that's how it is here. And you can whine and moan and bitch and bind and stamp your feet as much as you want. That's how it works.
Well, at the end of the day, it's how it affects our everyday lives. That's what we're worried about.
Well, it doesn't. In South Africa right now, us?
Well, then good.
Not really.
Then good.
I'll tell you what, I would be a lot less comfortable in a world where, like, that Ayatollah with that big fucking turban had a nuclear weapon. What do we call him on Friday? Ayatollah Asahola. Oh. I remember that. That was like a Simpsons episode or something. When they were all protesting with signs saying Ayatollah Asahola.
Jeez.
All right. So let's go. Leanne, you look very pretty today.
Oh.
Some compliments for you.
Thank you.
I used to go to school in Maritzburg and listen to you every morning while my parents drove us to school. Now here in Vietnam, enjoying my mornings listening to you. Thank you. That's nice, Zane. Thank you. That's very cool. Patrick says, shows how stupid he is. He's not standing with Iran. He's standing with a genocidal, maniacal regime. Those who say they stand with Iran are standing against the Iranian people. Well, this is an interesting point. If this regime does collapse, and let's say that the theocratic Islamists that have been running Iran for the last 45 years, let's say they are ousted because the people are probably quite uncomfortable with the, well, I know that they are, right? We just don't get to hear about it very much because they put down any protests. So if you protest against the Iranian regime, they just shoot you or chase you off the public square or warn you that they'll come after your family. So they're in a precarious position. We will have to see. Let's see what else is here. How are you not worried about our own leaders? Well, we've got stupid, stupid leaders in this country. I mean, I don't think Naledi Pandor had a great weekend. Remember, she and other people in the ANC are big mates with Iran. Iran was their lifeline. Iran was the savior for them in terms of giving them a little bit of capital to be able to pay, because the ANC, like most political organizations, but them especially, they just suck up money and just
have
shit,
nothing to show.
Yeah,
for
they
it.
Just shit everything out on the other side. Mm. So the ANC was kind of happy that Iran was around, because Iran sent the money. Remember, Iran has got a pipeline of money because they've got a pipeline of oil. Mm. So if you've got oil, you can always print cash because people need your oil, and you could then disperse that as you needed to allies all over the world and to people who you could get to do things. So with the Iranian regime looking like it's tottering at very least, I think that there are probably some very, very worried people in the ANC, because maybe, just maybe, we'll find the records for those payments that were made by the Iranians. You know, Tehran's a big city. There could be all kinds of information there.
Mm.
It could be useful and very incriminating to the ANC. Maybe there'll be documents that actually prove that payments were made for the ICJ case, for example, which was brought against Israel. And we can then create a direct link and a direct line between the ANC and their behavior and why they do and say the things they do, because their paymasters in Iran have told them to. That would be interesting. It's not entirely impossible that that could be discovered. But I also think there could be other interesting things discovered about which ministers might have been given cash bribes. Remember, the Iranians are likely to have kept these records, not our people.
Yeah.
Right. Our guys here aren't going to keep records because they, frankly, their own finances are a mess. There's no way they know what's going on.
Mm.
So perhaps over there they've got some things to show us. And maybe if there is a fall in this regime, they'll do a little cleaning of house and say, anybody interested in the receipts? So that's about as involved as we're going to be at this point. But, you know, all these other nations all over the world who've got a little bit uppity in the last couple of years and have been standing up at the UN saying, we don't like the way that the world is run, and you should make sure that we are treated the same as the big countries. And, you know, I'm from Burkina Faso, and I demand that you put me on the Security Council, and I have, you know, two votes to every one of yours. And because we've lived in this kind of pluralistic, multipolar illusion for a while, people have paid lip service to that shit. And it's over. I don't think that it matters to the major powers, the US, China, Russia, India. I don't think they care about what South Africa says, and nor should they. We've shown ourselves to have squandered every little bit of moral and international power that we could ever have wielded. There was a time when we were actually a real player in the world. You know, we had Thabo Mbeki, we had Nelson Mandela. We were like a proper country that had things to say. Now we're just one of those other, like, tin pot countries that's run by a government that's just cuck. And everybody can see it.
Mm.
So we know our place in the hierarchy now. And it's, you know, it doesn't matter how many meetings and summits Cyril hosts in Johannesburg. No one is asking for South Africa's opinion on anything. No one's sitting there going, oh, you know, before we make this decision, we've got to wait for Cyril Ramaphosa to give us his point of view.
Yeah, we really need him to weigh in.
He's the one. He's the critical part of this machine that we need to spring into action.
Yeah, I saw somewhere, if Ramaphosa, please, if you're preparing now to make a statement on what's happened, please just don't.
Yeah, just shut up.
Please just keep quiet.
Right. Hi, Gareth. Used to listen to you on 702 back in the day, now living in Kiwiland amongst the thousands of South Africans. Happy to listen to you now on YouTube. Okay, well, thank you. That's great, Robert. Thank you very much. I saw a clip yesterday. Couldn't sleep for some reason. I saw this clip of these New Zealand guys complaining about South Africans, because obviously there's so many South Africans there now. And he said, what is it with these South Africans and the aggression at, like, sports matches?
Oh.
And he was talking, he said that, and that accent, he said, it's such a grating accent. I mean, it's very rich for a New Zealander
for a
to for a Kiwi to complain about a South African accent, all right, or whatever they, I can't even do it properly. But he did this great impersonation. He's like, smash him, smash him. Just great. So, yeah, and we're not always welcome everywhere. Gareth, check out Zanu Project Rethink. Frank Zanu explains why Africa can't develop. Yeah, there are lots of reasons for that. Azalea says Iranian money and AIPAC, same difference. We're all bought. Speak for yourself. No one's tried to buy. I'm ready for corruption. Just someone needs to offer me some. I'll take part in corruption. I've never been offered.
Why is no one corrupt aside?
James, has anyone offered you any corruption lately? Flex? No corruption. Jesus. No corruption for you?
No, nothing's come in the post.
Damn it, man. Clearly no one thinks of us when they think of corruption. Damn, we got to change that. That is a problem. If there is a regime change in Iran, says Carl, who will pay for the ANC's next election? Exactly. They're steadily running out of like allies here. I mean, Russia's got its hands tied.
Mm.
You know, Russia's kind of busy. Anyone who thought that, again, these World War III people who are just, there seem to be a group of people on planet Earth who honestly believe we're always on the brink of the end of the world. They just get such a thrill out of it. You know, it's the same people who Jehovah's Witnesses knock on your door and go, oh, the end of the world is nigh. And there are people who are not even Jehovah's Witnesses who just absolutely relish that. They can't wait for everything to go to shit.
Mm.
And it's not going to. I've got bad news for you. You will live out the rest of your life, probably in most parts of the world, in relative peace and security. So all of your prophets of doom, you can safely ignore. I mean, there are a couple of them who might have a point every now and then, so it's worth listening. But most of them are just like crazy, drunk, homeless people. You can ignore them. Seriously, all these like World War III. So they all said World War III is going to break out. Russia is going to come to Iran's aid, and then China will get involved, and then it'll be America versus China. And have you noticed how dead quiet China's keeping? Not a fucking peep. Have you noticed that Russia's kind of busy at the moment in the Ukraine? Correct. India is like, I'm not getting involved in this. And as a result, all you do is you hear the usual moaning and whinging from a couple of European leaders. You know, there's Macron going, well, can we have less fighting? More love, less fighting. you've got, I don't know, the Germans haven't said very much. Meloni in Italy hasn't said very much. Of course, Keir Starmer is like desperately trying to dance around this because he knows he's Donald Trump's bitch. Mm. And he doesn't have a whole lot to add. You know, Britain is not a superpower anymore. I don't know when this happened. Somewhere in my lifetime and yours, Britain dropped off the first draw club list. Britain is not a superpower anymore. They still have some clout, you know, thanks to the language of English, thanks to the City of London, thanks to financial institutions. And there's a bit of sort of cultural hangover there.
Yeah.
That's really it. But they're not a first world power. Neither is Canada. They're really not. It's pretty much America, first tier. Second tier is like Russia, India, China. Third tier is most of Europe.
Mm.
And then a couple of other countries like maybe Mexico you could throw in there, Brazil. You could put Japan in there. And then you get the also-rans and the shithole countries. That's what they are. And we're in that category, I'm afraid. You know, had we been running this country the way that we did in the first 10 years of democracy, we might have moved up a draw, but we've actually moved down.
Yeah.
So no one's listening to us, waiting for us.
And that's not just in your view, that's in the world's view.
That's what the world thinks. Yeah. That's what the world thinks of us. No one's thinking about South Africa when they wake up in the morning, except the people who live here. Russia's making weapons faster than McDonald's makes burgers. Yeah, but they also, you got to remember, they're Russian weapons. I mean, like, I'm not pro-Ukraine or pro-Russia in this war. I think Russia's clearly the aggressor state. They were the ones who invaded. Putin is nobody's favorite person. I think he's completely untrustworthy, ex-KGB. There's nothing about him that doesn't give me the creeps.
Mm.
But Russians, you know, there is a level of technological advancement and sophistication to Russians. But they're also the country that there's always a wire that nobody knows what it's for. You know? You know what I mean? There's always, in everything they build, there's always like, oh, shit, what is this wire? Why is this one extra left behind?
If it's a Russian bomb, you're probably, it's going to look different to what you've been trained to see.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always like a little bit amateurish. And then Beaver says BRICS. Beaver. First of all, credit again for the name. Great name. BRICS is, it's an economic alliance. That's what it is. And it was meant to have been an alternative to the dollar economy that the world runs on. We haven't really got that off the ground yet. Mm-mm. Nothing's really happening there. And most of the countries in BRICS are sufficiently disengaged on issues of mutual interest. Okay, so of course it would be a nice idea to have a BRICS currency or a BRICS bank or to start getting other countries. In fact, Iran had just joined, I think. BRICS, remember it became...
That's right.
There were two eyes suddenly instead of just India. There was Iran as well. So that was a great one to add.
It became BRICS.
BRICS. I think you can safely push BRICS off the agenda too. It's not a big deal. We're nothing and maybe it's a good thing. Now, I'm not saying we're nothing. So don't jump to that conclusion. But we are certainly not...
In terms of world power.
Yeah. We do not have world power.
Yeah.
We don't even have power in sub-Saharan Africa. Most of the other African countries are not taking us very seriously anymore. We used to have that role.
We were the gateway. To Nigeria.
Yeah, yeah. Nigeria or Egypt or Kenya. Mm. Much more exciting. And you could argue Ghana. BRICS can't even launch its own currency. Adopt Bitcoin, says Bitcoin Boot. Okay, not as if you're biased or anything. Russia is trading Bitcoin for oil with China and India. No BRICS currency needed. Well, there we go. So again, what is South Africa left with? It's like we arrive at the party and the party's already over. That's usually what happens to us. They're also talking to Saudi Arabia to join BRICS. Yes, that's true. And Iran, Egypt, and Ethiopia. Well, you know that powerhouse Ethiopia. Everyone's just waiting for them. I saw that the ANC organized some kind of meeting in Lanesia with some minister from Somalia. And I'm like, we don't want a Somalian minister here, all right? Apparently, the average Somalian has an IQ that's lower than that of an average dolphin. Just saying. If you ask an AI engine, and we'll get into that in a moment, I know you've got things to tell me about that. Ask an AI engine just the number. What's the average IQ of a dolphin? It says 80.
Okay.
I've tried this on 3. Then you say, just the number, average IQ of a Somalian, and it says 60.
Oh.
Just saying. I mean, I think it's interesting. I shudder to think what it'll tell me if I say average IQ of a South African.
Yes, because
that won't be good.
That is low. Without AI stepping in, statistically, it's low.
You don't need, AI is not interpreting anything. Mm. It's just drawing from what the national average is. Total number of tested people by, you know, let's put those IQs in and then divide it by that number of tested people and see how we do.
I did see a story over the weekend about the fact that scientists may have got the world population number incredibly wrong.
Oh, really? Less or more?
More. Due to the fact that there are so many rural areas which can't easily be infiltrated.
So they haven't counted those?
And counted.
So we could be up to 9 billion by now? Yep. Really?
Yeah. Obviously, there are naysayers.
Yeah.
And I didn't have time to get into the whole report. Otherwise, I would have, you know, spoken about it more. But yeah.
Oh, here we go.
Very wrong.
So Jagger and Slippery Pickle are already on it.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, the average IQ, according to Jagger, is 77 in South Africa, which is higher than I thought. Because remember, under 80, I think that you call people under between 60 and 80, I think you call them morons. It's actually
it's
what
term.
It is. You're a moron, yeah. Some people are saying it's 52 slippery pickle. God, I hope it's not that low. Otherwise, we're in big shit. ChatGPT says average SAIQ is 76. Again, not great. Mm-hmm. Remember, 100 is meant to be average. So if you're below 100 as a nation, it means you're fucking stupid. We got to look at this, man. I don't know how many people actually know their own IQs because they used to test us at school, but they never gave us the results. I went for that test with Damon.
Yes.
And we did it live, and he didn't do very well. Remember?
I don't know if he was expecting much, but.
All right. So maybe you don't know yours, but that's really not good. America's average is 98. So this is a hate South Africa show now, says Hanging Out with Jay. Not at all. It's just interesting to know these things. You don't take it personally. You know, not everything is an attack on you or on your country or on your brain or on what you think or feel. Just calm down. It's Monday morning. We're just talking about stuff, okay? You don't have to get all hit up every time anything comes up that has to do with you. You're like one of those super sensitive girls who anytime you're around them brings up the last breakup she had with her boyfriend. Just calm down.
But in any case, to remind you, we're speaking about world power.
Yeah, this is about the world and about what's been happening this weekend in world news. I thought that's why you might have come here, but don't worry. Hanging out with Jay, you can take a breather and go and, I don't know, masturbate furiously or have a long hot shower or make a new cup of coffee, whatever it is that you need to start your day, all right? Let's get into the story about AI, because I think this is probably one of the big things that is going on in the world. So researchers have scanned the brains of ChatGPT users and found something deeply alarming. Dun, dun, dun.
Mm.
What can you tell us, ass?
I've noticed in the workspace a lot more people saying, well, I haven't asked ChatGPT yet. So getting to a certain process and then relying on it heavily. And then remember, it actually, it went down. ChatGPT went down.
Yeah. In fact, there were a bunch of students in the US who asked for extensions on their tests and projects and examinations because ChatGPT went down. And that God help them if they had to actually think for themselves. So this is funny because we were talking on the show just the other day about how people in Gen Z specifically, which, by the way, the oldest people in Gen Z are 26, 27 now.
Mm.
Those people always ask ChatGPT or whatever AI they use.
We call it Geppetti even.
It's
a thing.
This is their puppeteer. This is everything must pass through the ChatGPT funnel in order to be okay. In other words, you can't make your own decisions unless you first checked with ChatGPT.
Mm. Like, literally, I haven't been able to do this because ChatGPT was down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And we're talking basic things. We're not talking, you know, trying to figure out the mysteries of the universe.
Yes.
No. We're talking basic stuff.
Things that we did before by ourselves.
So like, how much milk should I add to my coffee?
Maybe.
Oh, God, I better ask ChatGPT. Because people can't make decisions anymore.
Yeah, well, scientists at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology have found some startling results in the brain scans of ChatGPT users.
Let me guess, they don't have any.
Apparently, this new paper, currently awaiting peer review, researchers documented the vast differences between the brain activity of people who are using ChatGPT to write versus those who did not. So they recruited a number of adults and put them into three different groups. Those that used ChatGPT to help them write essays, ones that use Google search as their main writing aid.
Right.
And then one that didn't use AI tech at all.
Okay.
Over 4 months, each group was tasked with writing one essay per month. And in the fourth month, they were allowed to switch over and then use ChatGPT.
Right.
They found the ChatGPT group not only consistently underperformed at neural, linguistic, and behavioral levels. Yep. They also got lazier with each essay they wrote.
Right.
The EEGs found weaker neural connectivity and under-engagement of alpha and beta networks. The Google-assisted group, in the meanwhile, had moderate neural engagement, and then the brain-only group exhibited the strongest cognitive metrics throughout.
Mm-hmm.
It's not surprising, but it's happening. The things that we didn't have evidence for before,
you know,
we do now.
It's still important to know things, to actually know things. You can't always have your phone with your AI engine working in order to do basic things.
Mm.
You should still be able to think and to know stuff on your own. It's amazing to me that we are living in an era where all of this information is available. It's always been available, at least to people our age and maybe younger. But people are not interested in that information. They sit and they ask stupid questions of ChatGPT. And you've got all of human knowledge at your fingertips, but you choose to ask it for, like, can you recommend a good series to watch?
Mm.
If you had a personal assistant who was the cleverest, most brilliant personal assistant ever, which is what it is, and you ask it things like, oh, I really want to do it. How do I make a pie? how do I cook a?
Yeah, these are the ingredients.
I cook a chicken
in my fridge? What can I make?
Yeah, what is the most horrible thing I can say to Beth, because she's so mean, and she always comes up with much meaner things than me whenever we go out together, and she always gets the boys and I don't. Yeah. Calm down, Janice. This is not what ChatGPT is invented for. And I find it bizarre that I think we should have a competition. We should have a competition where people post the last three things they asked their digital assistant stroke chatbot stroke AI engine.
Mm.
And you should almost have them like on your forehead. These are the three things I last asked ChatGPT. And you would know straight away what level of seriousness of a person you were dealing with.
Mm. It's interesting. And
how do I get rid of the stink of dog piss?
You know, sometimes a business will purchase the paid version of ChatGPT, and then you all have one login.
Yes, and you can see what other people are.
What your colleagues are.
What are the things you've asked it most recently?
I was just reading about how this one Wall Street Journal reporter even owned up to his cognitive skill decline over.
Yeah.
He's even admitted it.
Right.
And I am using it for lazy things, for things that I used to do before. But often what I use it mainly for is taking an idea and information that I have. And if I need to put it into a sort of a training document,
okay,
then I'll use it because it
So yours is more practical.
It's more practical, yeah.
I have such a nerdy ChatGPT relationship. First of all, there's no flowery language, or that's a great question. I've completely trained mine to just not do any of that shit.
Yeah.
So it's always in absolute mode. It's always giving me just the answer. If I wanted to generate something, it just comes up with it. No frills, no like, thanks for your response. None of that stuff, right? And then I found this weekend I was asking it things about convection, diffusion, and the forces that act on large objects in the universe, whether they can also be measured in ways that we would measure the patterns of smoke diffusion, for example. Is that the way the universe works? Is that one of the reasons the universe is expanding? And I get really interesting answers that would take me longer to look up.
Exactly.
Right.
So it's not that that information was unattainable via using Google or other research methods. It's just that it would have taken longer.
Yeah. And remember that ChatGPT is not thinking yet. And none of these engines are. There is no such thing yet as artificial general intelligence. In other words, it just is a research tool right now. It's just a means of discovering information. It is not thinking. It is all the information it is generating is based on information that already exists. It's not making new information or adding new thinking to the universe. It's able to do extremely good condensed versions of things.
Yeah.
Take a whole lot of complex information, kind of like what people like Yuval Noah Harari were the best at up to then, and to come up with a concise summary.
And put things into a good order.
Yes, sure. And that is where human brains are not the best, because we cannot take an enormous volume of information, let's say 200,000 facts, and create a simple narrative with the most important parts represented most fully.
Mm.
That's very difficult for us to do.
I mean, one of the biggest skills in putting together an essay or writing something like that is taking a new block of information that you've just received and splitting it out into where it belongs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And by the way, I also think that this is why it's important to still know stuff. Like, you still need to know stuff. You can't be on your phone looking up the answers all the time. People are going to go, this person's an idiot. You need to know a couple of things. Where is Peru? Is it, if you need to look that up on ChatGPT because you cannot point to Peru on a map, you have not paid attention. If you can't use the language that you need to use to get the answers and the prompts that you're looking for, then ChatGPT is only nominally useful to you.
Mm.
If we talk about an Ayatollah in Iran, you need to kind of have an idea of what that is. It's not going to help you to ChatGPT these things as they occur, because everything in the world is a big surprise. Surprise. Because you're an idiot. You need to know what's going on. You need to be able to recognize patterns, which ChatGPT isn't always going to be able to do for you. And you know, sometimes, like, it's a really good thing to be able to have simple skills. Changing a wheel, putting on a plug, knowing...
Jump-starting a car.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. These are important things that people just don't know anymore.
Mm.
So I think that we've got to pay attention to these. It's a pretty good idea. All right. Let's see. GC, that's not really true. They have developed reasoning skills and have started to develop novel ideas and concepts as well. Hundreds of research papers are released on there every week. Okay. It still isn't able to think like the human brain. You have a computer in your head which is superior to current versions of search engines and artificial intelligence robots. You have a better thing than that. It works better. You're able to generate completely original ideas at a rate that these things cannot yet.
Mm.
And yet people don't use their brains properly. Such a waste.
My psychiatrist, before AI was about, said that so many of her clients were saying, I found an app for this, I found an app for that.
Right.
And she said, but your brain is an app.
Right. Carl says, I've named my ChatGPT Alfred. It looks like someone, it speaks like someone from the south. It says things like but, brew, lekker, aware. It's hilarious. So we actually had a video that we put up on Friday of Michaela, who works in the office. She's from the south.
Yes.
And also Marco, who works with us, is from the south.
Uh-huh.
And the two of them say things that only people from the south would say.
Yes.
So what did we ask? What kind of words did we throw at her? Oh, fountain.
Fountain, yes.
Fountain. And if you go and you buy pretty blossoms for someone, what are those called?
Flowers.
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 Not flowers.
You got flowers.
Yeah. I went to the garage and I bought some flowers. Because I cheated on my chick.
Yeah. Five. It's almost sounds Afrikaans. And I've been caught out quite a few times where I'll be at a braai and I'll think that this person I've never met before is Afrikaans.
Yeah, but they're from the south.
They're just from the south.
But you were from the south.
I know, but I never picked up the accent. Although some people say that there are a few things that I say that are pretty much there, but yeah.
All right, let's see. Dirk says, how is her OnlyFeet page going? That's Michaela. Well, she actually couldn't... They wouldn't pay her on OnlyFeet, so she had to go on something else, like some Foot Finder or whatever. I'll get her on to give us an update. Get an AI expert on the show. Let's see what he can really do, says Hugh G. Rection. Yes, I agree with you. We'll do that. That's a very good idea. Except there aren't really experts. Unless you're one of the people who's actually developing the AI. There aren't any. We got Hanan. Oh, excellent. I've missed Hanan. You know, we've really messed him around over the last couple of weeks. Every time I've expected to go to him, he wasn't there. Or every time he's been waiting online, I haven't come to him. So here he is, our doctor, our shrink, Dr. Hanan. I love these clips that I see on Instagram that you're doing lately, Doc. Very, very nice.
Is it helping you? How does it make you feel?
No, it's not helping me.
Gareth doesn't need help.
I don't need your help. What do you?
It's for a friend of a friend. It's for a friend of a friend. I know.
No, I don't need. What are you talking about? Like I need you? Don't make me nervous and uncomfortable. No. Of course I need you. this is essential. So all right, we got a lot to get to with you today. So obviously there are people in this audience who are just they've screwed completely without you on a Monday. So let's get into something here. I love this because it came up in a meeting here at work the other day. You know, I find myself, for my sins, I'm now stuck in meetings all day. And one of the people in our company said, just do it, right? That brilliant Nike slogan, just do it. It counts for the best possible reaction in almost 9 out of 10 situations in my life. I'm pretty sure that just do it is what people should have tattooed on the inside of their skulls just to help them make things happen. But what do you think of this? Is it motivation or do you think it's oversimplification?
So just doing it is a slogan that, look, it's really helpful because it gets people going. It increases the dopamine. It gets people moving in the right direction, feeling good about achieving small results, which motivates them to continue moving.
Yeah.
But just doing it without a plan, you're just going to get lost. So if you need to get from point A to point B, if it's really simple, then just do it. If I need to build something quite simple, uncomplicated, not really comprehensive, then just doing it will do the trick. But if I have to create something really comprehensive, really robust, really complicated, if I have to get from point A to point B, but point B is really far, whatever that means in your life, whether you have to lose 100 kilograms, or you want to make X amount of money, which is completely out of reach. Or you want to get into a relationship that maybe you've never been in before.
Yeah.
Well, you can't just go from point A to point B and just do it without a plan. So the trick is to do it, but the trick is to create a blueprint that gets you from point A to point B. Once you create a robust blueprint, then just doing it is the trick. You don't procrastinate. You know, the human brain hates one thing more than anything else, which is uncertainty, being in limbo. Yeah. Being in limbo creates monsters in our heads. We start deceiving ourselves and justifying why we should get and stay stuck. And staying stuck is the conduit to feeling helpless, hopeless, feeling depressed. And all depression is being stuck. That's really what it is. So the moment you just do it, you move forward with a plan, you're going to get yourself unstuck. You're going to move forward, create hope, and create whatever it is that you desire.
So listen, I loved what you just said there, because there's something so true about uncertainty and how that's our big Achilles heel. That's what our brain hates the most. I heard someone quite sensible say over the weekend that we don't really ever experience happiness. We just experience a minor escape from the uncertainty, and that is what we regard as happiness. Now, it's kind of a cynical approach, but in some ways I can see that as being true. You're happiest when you feel safe, secure, you think you know your surroundings, you understand, at least for a little while, what the future holds. There is more predictability, more pattern to things, and that is the illusion of happiness. Now, what do you think of that? Is that too cynical or is that roughly correct?
Yeah, Gareth, I also heard that quote. I need to find out where it was from. it was actually quite profound. It said something along the lines of happiness is the escape, the temporary escaping of uncertainty, something along those lines. And I think that's quite real, because life is filled with uncertainty. You know, we don't know. We think we can predict. You know, the human brain is, human beings are really, really good at adapting, but we are horrible at predicting. We think the next minute is safe. We think the next minute is predictable.
Yeah.
But it's anything but. So we try to escape this and create these illusions of certainties in order to make us feel secure. So the brain wants one thing, and that is survival. It wants to ensure survival. And the one way, and the best way to ensure survival, is to mitigate risk and stay with what you know, because that is the best way to conserve what we call metabolic energy. So the more I conserve metabolic energy, the more energy I have, the more coins I have to invest into the line that might just come around the corner. So the best way to conserve energy is to not move, to stay in your comfort zone, and to not take risks and not create uncertainty. Uncertainty is metabolically incredibly expensive. Mm-hmm. Unknown, not being sure of what's coming up next, is metabolically incredibly expensive. So the brain tries to mitigate that by creating even the illusion of certainty. I think you were talking about something about patterns earlier in the show. I think I heard something about patterns. Mm-hmm. And the brain looks for patterns in order to create some level of predictability and certainty, even if the patterns are just imagined.
Well, those pattern-seeking intentions from people are also our measure of general intelligence. We regard someone as being smart if they can pick up on a pattern and implement it, whether it's the stock market, whether it's international politics, whether it is a military engagement. If you can pick up on a pattern and you can show that that pattern has value, then you're considered to be intelligent. I mean, we're pattern-seeking mammals. Most IQ tests revolve around being able to pick up a pattern. You know, 3, 6, 9, what's the next number? 12. Okay, that person must be moderately intelligent.
What the problem is, Gareth? The problem is this ability to pick up pattern is what makes us feel incredibly miserable. Because what ends up with human beings psychologically is, think about it this way. Somebody comes into my practice and says, I'm depressed. And the first question is why? And they go on a pattern-seeking mission. And then they go backwards. They look in the rearview mirror to look for reasons of why they're depressed. And you know the saying, if you look, you shall find. So they go, of course I'm depressed because my mother did this and my dad did this and my grandmother was an alcoholic and my teacher rejected me at school and my first breakup, she told me I wasn't good enough and my friends rejected me. And they think they're picking up patterns that has led them to where they are now, which justifies their current mental ill health. It justifies their position, which in reality is just nonsense that they've created in their heads. So whilst we have this incredible ability to pick up on patterns and project to the future, this ability is what keeps us stuck with mental ill health, especially if the patterns that you lay out and pick out is completely incorrect.
What an interesting idea it would be to compare overall intelligence, however you might measure that, you know, whether it's an effective IQ or of conscientiousness or of success. Let's say that we measured people's intelligence by how successfully they can do things. Either way, whatever that is, if we compared success and intelligence to misery or happiness, I think you'd find sometimes it's not a direct correlation. Sometimes really, really smart people are the most miserable. And I think sometimes the happiest people aren't always that smart, but not always.
Completely.
You know?
Completely. It would be very interesting to do the research. I'll actually do the research for you for the next show. But I'm predicting that the more intelligent you are, the more you're able to seek out patterns and the less busy you are. So we just need those two variables, intelligence and boredom. If you're intelligent and bored, my prediction is that you're going to have a mental disorder.
Well, I mean, if you look at me and like mongoloids, we're the happiest. So there's got to be something. intelligence clearly has nothing to do with it.
I've always said It's those people who run on treadmills, who don't have a thought in the world behind those eyes, and they're just running, and they're skinny, and all's good in the world. And then you get the ones who are questioning everything. They're looking at their, you know, their running stats, their blood pressure, what they've been eating, and they just get too involved. And
too many, like, patterns to seek.
Too just, many.
So, I mean, be like me and the mongoloids. I'm telling you, that's the way to be happy.
But you know what? Like, Leanne, to your point, running on the treadmill, it's really a metaphor for mental health. Because the moment you chase, that is when you're at your happiness. The moment you chase a good relationship, the moment you chase a sense of purpose, the moment you chase financial security, people think chasing is running away from something important. No, as a matter of fact, chasing and mental health are highly correlated. People that are stuck, people that lie in bed and hope that their feelings go away by themselves, are the people that are most depressed, most anxious, most insecure, most helpless, most hopeless. That is the way it works. As children, think about a child. A child isn't born to, you know, put a child in the playground. They just want to climb, and they want to just run, and they want to fall, and they want to roll, and they want to engage with other kids. That's our natural habits. But the moment we kind of remove ourselves from the natural human condition, which is the chasing, and we think it's better to just slow down and be in the moment and be mindful and be at peace with yourself, which is the biggest load of rubbish ever, that is when we get depressed.
Yeah, I agree. Again, join me and join the mongoloids. Come over here to where we're happy. All right, so that'll be an interesting discussion once you've done the research next week. I'd love to hear what you come up with. But there we go. Tracy says, my mom always said, clever people aren't always very smart. No, it's also true. All right. Yeah. Tracy's mom's absolutely spot on. I always... Whenever I'm in a really tight situation, I go, what would Tracy's mom do? And then I usually find the answer.
Tracy's mom has got it going
on. Right, Tracy's mom has got it going on. All right, thank you very much, Dr. Hiran. That's a complete waste of your start of your day. Lovely to see you. And to everybody else, Frankie. Thank you. Thank you for coming to watch. Coming and come watch listen to our show. What a waste of the start to your day. You just punished yourself. The only pattern seeking you're going to get today is misery.
It can only get better.
All right. Thank you very much. Thanks, Doc.
All right, see you.
We'll be back in a moment or two. Lots of more still to come, including a guest who's going to pop in. And this guest, I think you will find interesting. So she is a motivational speaker. She's spoken all over the world. She does these what do you call them, like retreats that people go to. And especially if you're in business, you might find this really interesting. She does master classes and business coaching, done keynote speaking at various events. So very interesting person. Dana Grant is going to join us in a short while. What we're going to talk about is intuition. Okay, so it's like the opposite of pattern seeking almost. You get a feeling about things. Should you trust that feeling?
Yeah.
And you know what? Who knows? The answer is probably a little bit of both. Apply logic and rationality and ChatGPT and pattern seeking to everything. But occasionally, you just got to trust your gut. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll find out if that's true or not in a short while. And then, James, can we please have an AI bot in the chat based on the general feel of the chat? Yeah, we probably could. And that AI bot could be like the final arbiter of comments. That would be interesting. Okay, maybe we'll do that. That's not a bad idea. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.